There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College at the end of 2022, and I asked the professor to comment on democracy in the New World, Central America and South America. Two major elections in 2022, first Colombia, Gustavo Petro, the new president, and then Brazil, Lula da Silva, the new president, come January 1st. Other pieces of democracy, though, from 2021, spilled across the calendar. So, Professor, I begin with asking your general opinion of the democratic process in the New World and these major elections in Brazil and Colombia. Did we learn anything from these elections? I also note that the election in Brazil was very close, and there was anxiety in major newspapers in Europe and America that there would be an intervention by the military. It did not happen. It does not happen. There was the same kind of anxiety before the Colombia election. It's an old story from the 20th century, not happening here in the 21st. Is that a positive, Evan? Thank you.
John, thank you. Frustration with the results of democracy amidst tremendous pressures that come from COVID-19, that come from the inflationary effects of Russia's invasion of the Ukraine and other factors, I think really are putting democracy to the stress, and not only driving political change, but political change in some undesirable directions, even though you have what appears to be the vestiges of democratic practices continuing. And so in general, again, I would go back to 2019, even before COVID-19, when you had those protests that almost brought down the government of Ecuador, of Lenin Moreno, in October 2019, that the protest that started the process against Sebastián Piñera in Chile, that eventually brought the new Gabriel Boric government in, and other protests that even almost brought down the Duque presidency in Colombia. If that was a demonstration of the frustration of Latin Americans with the continuing corruption and inequality and the inability of democracies to solve their problems, including solve problems of public security as well as problems of economic progress, COVID-19 made things even worse. Not only was Latin America one of the hardest hit in terms of the health effects, and that just exposed how poorly governments were using taxpayer money to support their interests, but it also imposed severe fiscal constraints. It took a generation that was just barely getting into the middle class with small and medium enterprises and basically pushed them back into the informal sector. It ran up debt, which made it really hard for governments to protect citizens' interests, even as their poor performance was exposed, even as a new wave of pressures came with, again, the inflationary effects on things that hurt the poor the most, increases in prices in basic foodstuffs, increasing prices in transportation fuels and heating oil and things like that. So there's really been multiple pressures. And these elections that occurred in 2021 and in 2022 reflected that. And so, again, what you see, for example, in the case of Peru, as we talked about previously, was that, after, four previous, elected leaders in transitions, the desire for, somebody, anybody new, versus the known but seen as, corruption-tied alternative candidate. And so oftentimes when voters get frustrated and bring in somebody that's new, anybody new, you get what you ask for. And so we had the difficulties with Castillo. In the same light, Colombia's frustration with there was a broad slate of candidates, but again, the former M19 guerrilla who was brought in in Gustavo Petro. Again, a bit of a dreamer, but a good talker. Clearly for Colombians, something that was very new from what they had seen before with politicians like Duque and Álvaro Uribe and others. In the case of Brazil, what you saw with Lula looked a little bit more traditional, but the fact that Lula had been convicted of a very serious corruption charge. And even though the charges were technically dismissed, it wasn't that he was absolved of corruption, but it was that the way that he was convicted was seen as is technically improper. But essentially, voters knowingly brought somebody back in who was seen as a convicted corrupt politician, but one who had brought them a certain level of prosperity, things like the cash transfer program, Bolsa Familia, et cetera. So trying to get back to a happier previous era. But the bottom line is we've seen is that across the region, you thus have a new group of leaders who are not only more less traditional, but represent the voters willing to turn away from established processes and rules of law and things like that to individuals who they hope will bring them change. For the United States and for democracy in general, that creates some very serious problems because you have a series of regimes that might agree with, for example, the Biden political agenda domestically, but in terms of their willingness to work with the United States or uphold democratic values, very much in question. And we saw this in our previous conversation about what's going on in Peru, where there are a clear attempt to overthrow the Constitution by Castillo. And yet at the same time, you have this new raft of Latin American leaders, including at our own doorstep, Andrés López Obrador in Mexico, talking about this being something improper. Of course, Bolivia, Venezuela, no big surprise there. But others as well. Argentina again, standing up for what's essentially an anti-democratic action. And so again, I think it highlights the fact that we have procedural democracy, but the year has moved us in a situation where the health of democracy, I think, is very much in question. And the level of frustration across the region to have something is palpable.
Coming to this question as a general reader, Professor, I was understanding that there was a playbook, and Chavez of Bolivia is an example. You win the popular presidency, you establish a core group of supporters who can turn out when you ask them to, and then you seek to change the Constitution to extend your presidency indefinitely. That was the playbook. I am not seeing that reproduced today in any of these significant elections, except for Nicaragua, which was using the Chavez playbook for some time. Managua is darkness visible, and Havana has used it for some time as well, completely in control of the process there. But I don't see Castillo or the new president in Lima. I don't see Boric in Santiago. Certainly not Petro in Bogota moving to change the Constitution. Is that a positive, Professor?
I wish I could say it was, John, but I think what you really see is that even though there certainly is this worrisome playbook, and it feeds into the level of desperation and the unwillingness of citizens to defend procedural democracy when a charismatic leader promises them something. The problem is that there is a playbook, but there's also an ongoing struggle, and we've seen it playing out in different ways. And so, certainly the pioneer of that, Hugo Chavez, with the support of the Cubans and others, leveraging that frustration to circumvent the Constitution, change things, deepen themselves in power, that succeeded to its maybe ultimate extreme in Venezuela. It got short-circuited in Ecuador when Rafael Correa perhaps made the biggest mistake of his life and appointed somebody he thought would be a docile replacement. His former vice president, Lenin Moreno, who actually tried to undo in the name of democracy some of Correa's worst reforms. It temporarily came undone in Bolivia when, again, Evo Morales got a little bit too greedy and tried to hijack Bolivian elections in front of OAS observers, leading to that temporary time in which Jeanine Añez came in, a right-of-center leader. But again, her mistakes led to the recapture of power by the MAS with Luis Arce, but again, once again, Morales in the background. I think you've seen it in a very brutal form in Nicaragua, where again, Daniel Ortega basically hijacked through the Sandinista party, the leadership, and basically has outlawed anybody in any party that would dare to defy them. But what you see in other parts of the region, I think are, different levels of this painfully playing out. And so in Colombia, it's not clear whether, Petro's own administrative inabilities in the face of a very conservative, organized, right, to what degree that will be allowed to happen. But you do see signs of worry as other, and you see, I think, a principled, leftist, Gabriel Boric in Chile, who's been reluctant to go down that route so far. And of course, Brazil, again, continues to be very, very diverse and with strong democratic traditions. And so we'll see that despite Lula, where things go there. But I think across the region, there are signs of worry. And I think some of those signs you saw, for example, in protests the past year in Panama that almost brought down Nito Cortizo. You saw protests that almost brought down the Guillermo Lasso regime in Ecuador over food costs and things like that. And frankly, you saw them with the attempt to restore Castillo to power, where again, you have protesters occupying strategic roads, which are, key to the output and supply of mines, which are the lifeblood of the Peruvian economy, to essentially try to destabilize Boluarte and get Castillo back into power. And so I think, John, it continues to be a struggle across the region, and democracy is hanging on in some places. It's on the ropes in other places, but it's a worrisome prospect. But I think we'll see that continuing to play itself out in 2023.
Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American Research Professor, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute on Democracy, the end of 2022 throughout the New World.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.